everybody doing today? Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm an outsider, and so it's neat to come here and learn about what you guys do and hear your issues. And I kind of put myself into a tailspin last night because I've heard all these presentations yesterday and even today, and it's very interesting because each piece, though it is a small part of a bigger picture, and that kind of fits into not what I'm seeing on the screen. Oh, fun!
Hang on a second. You got widescreen?
Hang on. See how it goes. So what I'm going to try to do today, as the last session, is hopefully try to tie in a little bit that everybody's talked about. Because I think everybody's talked a little bit about an enterprise GIS, enterprise implementation. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and then hopefully, in whatever time I have left, is demonstrate the majority of those things to you. So that's going to be the trick, is that I shut up enough so that I can actually show you something. My name is Bill Wessel. I'm a sales lead for the Sinvo company. We're based out of the Chicago area, so I've been out here a couple times visiting some folks. And here's what I really want to talk about today. I do want to give a little bit of an introduction on who Sinvo is. Talk about how cadastral data and what you do fits into an enterprise world. The discussion we just had with the gentleman in this row right here, where the stuff that you do, how does that impact the planners and the TRA areas and things like that? How the stuff that you do impacts everything in your enterprise? I think that's very important. So I'm going to try to show some of those things. Again, talk through some things, get some demonstration, and then answer any questions that you have. And feel free to shout them out at any time. So, who is Sinvo? A little brief background. I've been in business since 1927, been in business 80 years. That's significantly longer than most of our competitors have been in business, so that's something that we're very proud of. We are 100% employee owned. Over the last 7-8 years, we have moved all of our clients and as many clients as we can find to the GeoDatabase. We think that's the environment to be in. We've written parcel mapping software for over 20 years. I'll be demoing some of that today. And yesterday, you were talking about designations. At Sinvo, we have 6 CMS designations. That's a cadastral mapping specialist. It's granted by the IAAO. Anybody familiar with that designation? We have 6 of them at Sinvo. There's less than 100 in the entire world. We're pretty proud of that, too. Some of the services that Sinvo provides, I like to describe it as the full cycle of GIS services for local government, particularly for cadastral mapping. We have our own photogrammetry department, so if you have a need for photogrammetry, digital orthotography, planimetric mapping contours, that's something that we can provide. Our focus, though, is cadastral data, building, maintaining, and implementing cadastral data in a local government situation. Project management and training, making sure that when we deliver that data to you, that you're thoroughly trained, it's up and running, and serving the needs that you want it to do. Application development, you'll see some of the applications that we develop. Parcel Builder is our flagship parcel editing software right now. And last, web hosting and commercial services. You guys play a hard copy map. Hard copy output is critical to you guys. to your jobs, to your offices, to the public outside of your jurisdiction. It's one of the things that we focus on in our entire history is creating hard copy output. And with the advent of web hosting, that's another mechanism to get data out of your hands into the people that are going to be using it. A little bit of a history here on Sidwell. Again, we started in 1927. The first project that really put us on the map was the Cook County project. It was a pen and ink project, 8,000 map pages, a permanent parcel number, and they're still using the parcel numbering system, and when they moved to GIS, they tried to mimic the old hard copy maps that we developed for them in the 1950s. As you can see, we've got a lot of experience with digital environments, starting out with OIDGF platforms. Anybody familiar with that? Nope? Maybe? A lot of experience with CAD, so I feel your pain, some of your CAD users, in migrating and getting that data to work with GIS and vice versa. In the mid-90s, we started working with ESRI, and to date, we're on our third version of Parcel Builder as an editing tool on top of ESRI and editing with the geodatabase. So, I want to talk about cadastral data and how it fits into an enterprise world. Kind of to simplify the concept of an enterprise GIS, there's really four things that I want to talk about that were also mentioned in the presentations yesterday, and that is a single data source for all of your data, a multi-purpose cadastral to serve the needs of the greatest number of users, integration with existing systems, and deploying that data out to users. First, I want to touch base on the single data source, and I think the gentleman from Munsis did a great job of talking about getting your data into a single source, a seamless countywide database, so that you can have efficient maintenance, reduce your duplicate effort. And I know Emilio from LA County, he did that very same thing, and he's in a seamless countywide environment, single data source, and it's made his job much easier. And he can get things done a lot faster to get that data out of his hands, out of his mappers, and into the hands of the people that use it, the planners, the state, the title companies, those types of things. A multi-purpose cadastral. Again, I'll reference Emilio's presentation, which I was very impressed with. Build it from the best source documents that you can find. And that's your subdivision tracts, existing source documents, original government land surveys. If you've got monumentation, use that, orthophotography. What you do is, at least I hope that what you do, at least cadastral mappers back in our area do it, you're charged with taking data sources from multiple places and reconciling that information together to create a seamless fabric, right? Do it with the best possible data sets that you can start with, and that will serve the needs of the greatest number of people. If you have, the old adage, garbage in, garbage out. If you don't build your cadastral data accurately and completely enough, when you try to bring in a survey subdivision or a digital submission and it doesn't fit, what are you going to spend more time fixing? You're going to be fixing the bad stuff around it, or are you going to degrade that survey that's coming in? Okay, so build it right the first time. Build that foundation. And yesterday, Jim talked about an effective data model, so I'm going to try to review a little bit of that when I get to my presentation. Integration. The gentleman from the assessor's office a little bit ago talked about all these different systems, all these new technology, and all these new systems that he's dealing with. How can you get GIS to work with those systems? Also, Jeff?
Jeff Orton.
He did a very good presentation on web deployments, but integrating other data sets into that, tying in different data sets with that geography and deploying that out over the internet. Getting access to that other information to make other people's jobs easier, but it all starts with you guys. Information data products. The gentleman from California CAD did a great presentation on creating map books. the Jeff again did a really good job of presenting how this data can be deployed out on the internet. So there's ways to do that. There's ways to get this data out of the back office and into the hands of the people who can use it. Those are the concepts that make an enterprise implementation, an enterprise GIS, powerful and valuable. And again, it all starts with you guys, because you guys are the where the changes start on the base layers. And the most dynamic changes too. Okay, any questions so far? Hopefully I did a pretty good overview, or a basic overview of what enterprise concepts are and how that can fit into your jurisdiction. Okay? So I want to switch over to the demonstration. But first I want to say, and I've got, I think I got a little bit faster than I realized. So these are some of the things that I want to show you today. We're going to do some cadastral editing. We're going to have a GIS workflow, and we're going to pass that some information over to a tax and canvas system. Okay? We're going to manage parcel numbers. Kind of surprising we didn't have more discussion about parcel numbers, APNs, and things like that. We're going to generate hard copy output. All right? Everybody wants to have hard copy output. And if I have time, I will show a deployment through a desktop viewer application too. So all of those things that we talked about in an enterprise geodata and an enterprise GIS implementation, I'm going to try to do all of that in 20 minutes. Who's got a stopwatch? Okay. So that's what I'm going to try to show today. Okay. Sound fair?
Go for it, dude.
Okay. I'm going to try. I got to sit down and do this. I got to drive, so I'm going to try to everybody else bend the microphone. Okay. Here we go. Okay, can everybody see that okay? In the back? Lou, you can see that okay? Fantastic. Fine. If you can't see anything, Lou, let me know. Okay, what we have here is a small subset of a county in northwest Indiana, Allen County, Indiana. It is, they've been a client of ours for about 7-8 years. They were a CAD-based implementation, something that we implemented, and then right as we were finishing up the project, we got them to switch over to the GeoDatabase and implement that. You'll see several pieces of information here. They've got monumentation that the county provided us when we were building the cadastral layer. They provided us with, we went in-house and captured all subdivision plats, COGO'd those in, and then fit those in when we built the data layer, the cadastral layer. Right now I'm running ESRI's ArcInfo. Hopefully most of you have seen at least ArcView or ArcInfo, but all the interfaces look the same. I do have some additional toolbars up here that are part of Sidwell's Parcel Builder product. They're down here on the bottom, which Parcel Builder, there's four modules. A module that manages parcel number inventory, we'll see that in a minute. Map Editor, which adds about 40 tools to the ArcGIS interface. More tools for you to use. You're CAD guys, you got lots of tools. There's three different ways to do one thing, right? Okay, we came out of a CAD background. We tried to bring some of that CAD functionality into the GeoDatabase, okay? We're a production shop. We like speed, we like that. We gotta build parcels fast and quick to make money, okay? We wanna try to mimic that in the GeoDatabase, in ESRI, in the GeoDatabase. Let's see. Another application that I'll show you is Map Plotter. It's used to create hard copy output out of the GeoDatabase. And then the last thing that I'll show you is Map Viewer. It's an end user viewer application. Sorry, the podium is so high and I'm so short, I can't see you guys over there. Maybe I'll scoot this way a little bit. So what I want to do is to kind of first touch base on something that Jim talked about yesterday and this idea of the tag model. Because I think he did use some of our information to model his, so I wanted to show you kind of another view of a tag model. And you'll notice here, I'm actually going to step back one. You'll notice that all the different colors represent different things within a cadastral data set. The red are parcel lines, The yellow are road right-of-ways, the green are subdivision boundaries. All of that is in one layer. And that's called the cadastral line layer. Okay? So whatever features you have and whatever features you're mapping in your cadastral layer, those are now visible in your data set. So let me zoom in again here. So as we zoom in, a little more detail pops up, orthophotography. Some of the other things that we have are cartographic features. You'll see a couple of what we call footballs, and then a lot of annotation. Actually, that's something that I didn't really see in a lot of presentations over the last day or so, is parcel data with a lot of additional features, subdivisions, lot lines, road right-of-ways, things like that, which I think are important to cadastral mappers. I only saw parcel data. Well, to me, your cadastral mappers, you're mapping the cadastral. That's all the features that make up ownership. Parcels are one of the last things that we draw when we do countywide projects. And also, you see a lot of annotation. I didn't see a lot of annotation in a lot of the presentations that I saw. Annotation, again, is one of the things that makes your hard copy maps valuable to the users. Why not have that and capture that in your GIS, be able to manage it there, and be able to output it when you need it? Cadastral people love annotation, GIS guys hate it. Right? So one of the things we do is all our annotation, we subtype and we lump it into one feature class. If you don't want to see it, turn it off. Now the GIS guys love the data, right? But you cadastral guys got to have the annotation, okay? So annotation managed in this area. Okay, so I want to touch base a little bit more on this kind of tag. One line represents has multiple definitions to it. So what I want to do is just do a simple identify on this line right here. It's thick, dashed, and green. That tells me it's a subdivision line. Okay. But when I extend out the tags, it's got four tags on it. It tells me also that it is a lot line, a road right-of-way, a subdivision line that's going to plot at a 100 scale, and a parcel line. But it's one line. That's pretty cool. Let me get back to that. The way we symbolize that is through the relationship classes, like Jim talked about. We have one line with multiple tag definitions. We prioritize and rank those tags. So whichever one has the highest priority, we then take that highest priority tag, which is subdivision, and put it in our alpha tag, and that's what we symbolize on. And we use a symbol set that looks at that alpha tag. Okay? So, cadastral mapping, one line, multiple representations, but GIS, and you know all of the features that belong to that one line segment. That's powerful. It's not you draw it as a green line and you, oh yeah, I know that's also, because I drew it as a thick green line, I also know that that's probably a light line and maybe a parcel line. You click on this and you know what it is. That's powerful. Okay. Another way to look at that, I got more editing here. So another way to look at that is to select that line. And it's not the page index. So that line is selected, and it tells me that it's a lot line, a parcel line, a road right-of-way, and a subdivision line. So all of that, I want to say, I want to remove that as a subdivision line. I deselect subdivision line, I hit apply, I hit OK. It immediately turns to a solid yellow line. That's pretty fast. Did I edit a line? Did I delete a line? No. I just said, put another tag, a close tag. You're a subdivision. You're a whatever. Okay. Well, now I want that back to be a subdivision line. All right. Fine. Great. Take back. Scroll down. Put subdivision 100 on there. Hit apply. Hit OK. It's now back to a solid, a dashed green thick line. Instant cartographic feedback based on what you're drawing. Okay. Let's see. No. gotta save my edits. Nice, because it prompts you when you, keeps you out of trouble. If you're been trying to do something and you don't, and you're not supposed to be doing it, hey, idiot, do it right. So we're gonna save our edits. So, here's a listing of all the different tags that we have in this data set. You want another tag in here? Add a tag. When I was playing this with last night, I added a CCMA line. Don't know what it's for, but you might have an Indian boundary line that you want to add in your jurisdiction. You might have vacated lot line that you want to add. You might have a TRA line that you want to add. Okay? You have the flexibility to add whatever tags you want in this data set. Okay. CAD users, when you move to GIS, one of the big things to deal with is knowing where your nodes are and directionality of a line. CAD users don't have to deal with directionality. GIS users do. So we've got some tools in here that show directionality of lines. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to select some lines in here. And you see those arrows pop up. So when you do an offset or copy parallel, direction matters, which way you're drawing. So here's some tools to help you, aid you in your drawing functionality. So you want to look at where some nodes are. There's all the nodes, so you can see where those are. Those types of things. So there's a bunch of other drawing tools that we have in here, but I want to get moving on here. So what I'm going to do is switch over to the subdivide. Hopefully. Here we go. Okay, I got a parcel here in the middle, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to split this parcel into four parcels. I'm going to manage the parcel number, and basically what I'm actually going to do is I'm not going to type the parcel number at all. So that's pretty cool. So stay tuned. So I'm going to go to product, parcel builder, a Sidwell product called Parcel Builder Administrator. It's used to manage parcel number inventory. So I've selected my parcel, 200059, and it has driven the administrator application to where that parcel's at. Okay? So now what I want to do is create a task or a transaction. I'm going to split this into four parcels, four properties. I have a document that says I'm going to split this into four properties. But I need to get rid of the parcel number first. So what I'm going to do is go down here to create task. And a new tab, I'm going to add a new task. It's going to be a split, and I'm going to add four parcels. Okay? I'm going to add those four new parcels into my grid up here, which has a listing of all of my property, all my parcel numbers or APNs. And I'm going to create that task. So now you'll see that 059 is grayed out, it's retired. We retire numbers, right? When you use them anymore, do you reuse numbers? Retire them, don't use anymore. Delete them, retire them? Excellent. So you can keep a history, right? How many people keep history? Excellent. You guys have to do it by hand? And a computer? Excellent. But it also created four new numbers, but they're white. That means they're active parcels, but they're not linked to the GIS. We've also got some other stuff over here too. We'll get to that in a second. But again, the 059 has been retired, been unlinked from the map, and retired. We're not being used anymore. But we have a record of where that's of that parcel being used. Okay, now I'm going to switch over, and you notice that my parcel number is now gone. Pretty cool, huh? So, where'd my tools go? Hang on. Oh, there it is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start drawing, use a tool within Parcel Builder that we think is pretty neat. I'm going to start here and go there. Finish part. I'm going to go here to here, finish part, and I'm going to launch a tool called Subdivide Block. People do a lot of subdividing within a certain area, multiple parcels, do a lot of that, maybe in a subdivision. Okay, You have to add the lines in, you gotta add the annotation in, all that stuff, right? It takes a long time. Can? Okay. Let's see if I can do this fast.
Could you maybe turn the air photo off? Kind of hard to see what you're doing.
You don't map with air photos, do you? Nope. I can, not a problem. True mappers don't map with photography. I love it.
Right.
All right, hopefully I'm still in this tool. Okay, so I'm going to add some numbers here real quick. 240, 240, 240, 310, 310. Okay, so you see the numbers up there, you'll see the totals at the bottom. What we're going to do is proportion this stuff into this section. We're going to delete those outlines that I drew. You can see them right here, they're kind of in green. We're going to delete those out of there. We're going to put annotation inside the block. So we're going to put it inside this area. We're going to put it on the top and the bottom. We're going to put it on our cadastral annotation layer. We're going to make it lot dim or partial. What do you think? Lot dim or partial? We'll do lot dim 400, and we'll make it lot dim 400 symbol. So it's going to be light blue and heavy, so you can see it. All right? So hopefully everything goes well. I drew everything right. Boom. I'm not supposed to say boom, but I said boom. We've got our line split out. We've got our annotation top and bottom. And what we don't have, which I didn't set up, is line work. These lines have no tags to them. So what we're going to do is go in, select these three lines, and assign a parcel line and a lot line to them. Hit apply, hit OK. I was supposed to do that. Lot line. Oh, I know what's wrong. Hang on. I'm going to attach to all these features, so I can do more than one line, a parcel line and a lot line. And at one time, I attach those tags to multiple tags to multiple lines at one time. Okay, so there I go. What I don't have is a parcel number. Switch back over to my administrator. All of my four parcels are highlighted. I'm going to now attach those numbers. Okay. Now we go back to our administrator piece. They are now yellow. Instant feedback telling me that not only are parcels active, but they're also linked to the GIS. In addition, those parcels have been passed over to a CAM system. How many people do data entry into a tax or a CAM system? You do. How many people have other people in a completely different office that enter data into a tax or CAM system? How do you pass that information back and forth to one another? How do you let them know that the map has actually been updated?
Hard copy, right?
Hard copy? Hard copy. Okay. All right. So, what's happened here is, I think I can switch over to it right now, actually. I'm going to switch over to, this is a CAM application from a business partner of ours, Manatron. I don't know if you've heard of them. I'm not a camera guy. I don't know much about this application. I know enough to be dangerous, but it is a camera application. I'm going to go down here to their work management tool, and I'm going to scroll all the way down to the bottom and say, hey, look at this. I had 059 retire, and I created four new jobs. So now, if I'm somebody doing data entry into my administration application, I can go, wait a minute, I got four new parcels. Oh, yeah, by the way, here's my document that I need to start adding that I got from the field people. I can start adding information about this property into my CAM application, and I've got a notification from GIS that they have mapped that parcel. It's in the mapping system, and it's active. And I need to start adding information into it also, right? Cool? Excellent. All right, again, I'm not a camera guy, so bear with me on this one. So I'm gonna select one of these parcels. I think I hit open, there we go. And so now there's the information populated. There's a name, I don't know if it's right. I don't really care at this point. But what I'm gonna do is go in and I'm gonna change a couple of things. I'm going to scroll down here kind of slow. If somebody's brave enough to pick one, what this property wants to be creative. It's in the middle of nowhere, so why don't we make it a bowling alley? How about a lodge? And one's with the park? Bowling alley. And I'm going to change the neighborhood. Okay, I'm going to hit save. There's my date. It's got a date stamp on it. Okay, I've done my update in my Canvas system. Whatever else other appraisal people do, you guys don't do that. So whatever the appraisal people do, they're doing it here, and it's off your desk and moving on through the tax office, right? Excellent. But you started with you guys, right? Excellent. Okay, so let's go back to our administrator piece and look at, which parcel is that? 60. Okay. So let's go back to 60. Let's look at some information, some live queries coming out of the CAMA system that's being connected through an ODBC connection. And sure enough, there's my property class, which tells me that is a what, bullion? And there's my neighborhood that I changed. That's instant feedback from updates in your CAMA system back to you guys, because you guys need to have that information when you're doing your map. Right? The more information you have to do your mapping, the better it is. Right? I hope. Excellent. Okay. Okay. Did that. All right. Any questions on that so far? No? Save my edits. Oh, hang on. Save my edits. Here we go. Okay. Now, hard copy. Everybody likes hard copy, right? I'm going to zoom out a little bit. Things turn on, turn off. The gentleman from CAD Solutions, he talks about page indexes and things like that. Where am I at? Okay, here we go. Okay, hang on. I'm going to shut off some annotation. Stop messing with it. Okay, there we go. Does everybody see the dark purple grid? Luke, can you see the dark purple grid? On the outside? Okay, that's the outlines of our pages that you're going to output. I know they're not 11 by 17, but try. What we have here are different scales of maps that are going to be able to be printed out. We've got 400 scale, which are the section based, and then we've got 100 scale, which are the quarter section. Right? Sound pretty familiar, pretty common? Your formats are a little bit differently, but you get the concept. Okay. In each one of these features, in each one of these page indexes, I'll select on one of these, and we'll go to page index right there. You'll see two features did end up getting selected. Okay. And you'll see that the information, when I hit the identify button, the information that's attributed to each one of those polygons changes based on the size, the shape, the location of that page boundary, right? So page number might change, title number, section, those things might change, the scale might change, everything. So you populate these, and we're going to use a template that's going to pull information out of this page index to populate information on your template. Fair enough? All right. So what I'm going to do is launch, we're going to launch Map Plotter. Okay. I'll make that a little bit bigger for everybody to see. Everybody see that? Okay. What I'm going to do is open a plot document. Save where I want. Okay? Indiana, Allen County, Map Plotter, plot documents, and I'm going to open a 400 scale 17 inch by 19 inch plot document. Okay, so you'll see there we've got a 17 by 19 map page, and you can use whatever map size you want. We've got letter size, we've got landscape, we've got portrait. However you want to define your template, doesn't matter to me, doesn't matter to the software. But you'll see down here in the lower right hand corner, information that shows you where that map page is at within your jurisdiction. So I'm going to zoom into that area real quick. I'm running over on it a little bit. I'm sorry. I'll quit off. This will be my last thing I'll show. So you can see all that information change based on where you're at in your county. So what I'm going to do real quick is from my page index, from the page, I'm going to select the page that I want. I can select one. I can select many. I'm going to hit OK. I'm going to hit preview. It's going to redraw, pulling the information. This, and you'll see that when it redraws here, that those changes I just made are right there, ready to be hard copy. So now I can take that and export that out for PDF. Where does it go? There we go. County, map plotter, output, put it out to a location. I'm going to export that out real quick. It'll take it a little bit because it is printing out. It is creating the PDF with the imagery. Whenever you do that, it does take a lot of extra time to do that. But again, finding this out directly to a PDF, directly to a location that you've got somewhere out in your network that you can easily get to. Maybe you've got all these documents then hot linked back up to a page index for any other deployment. Still working here? Still working. There we go. Let's finish it up down here at the bottom. Okay. All right. So far, so good. I'm running a little over. I'm in about 20 minutes. I was just a little short. Finish up? Hey, finish up. Great. Okay, so you can select, again, you can select one page, multiple pages, send them out to batch, send them directly to the printer, send them to the file, whatever you want to do. So now I'm going to go back to, my map page index, and I believe one of the attributes that I have is a hot link, so I'm going to hit that hot link. And it's 0136, which is the map page I just created. It's a PDF. I can print that out to a printer. I can email it to somebody. I've got a hot link to a page index. And there's the data I just changed. Last thing. Oh, yeah, and here's a map viewer that's reading live data. And there's my changes. And I can also get to that map page from that application too. Any questions?
You have a single line that has a lot of attributes.
Yep.
I can understand that, but in my office when I have a parcel map, then I have a TRA map over it. My TRA map is signified by a secondary line, which is a circle with a line going through it. So it actually has to be a separate line. How do you handle that, just to make a second line?
It depends on how you want to manage it. You can handle it through the symbology. Is the symbology set by the state? Then you can do one of two things. You create a completely separate line, a TRA feature class, that has that symbology. Or in the symbol set, say you wanted to, I'll just as an example, I've got a corp line. Let's try something. I'm edging on danger here, but we'll give it a shot. I want to match symbols. Nope, that didn't work. Let me try this. So say corp line. You can go in and change whatever symbol you want. You can even customize your own your own symbols within ArcMap. And so that's all it would be. It would be you create that, you design that symbol however you want it and just match it to that layer. It's either a layer or you assign it to one of the tags in the style set. Does that make sense? That's the flexibility. That's core ESRI. That flexibility, that gives you that flexibility. Does that answer your question?
Well, you can do it as a representation. That's core in I2 as well.
A cartographic representation.
There's actually a website out there called Mapping Center. It's put out by ESRI. They have a little demo that actually was something that we posted to them to address on how to put a closed circle from the open circle to carry lines. It's mappingcenter.esri.com. That's all done in the representation.
Well, it's a separate line. It's not the same line.
Yeah,
we're not dealing with the text.
So. Yeah, that
was my question. You can model it either way. So, I'm a little bit past. Okay, not too much. Sorry. Any questions? You always have a question. Great. You got a question in every reason presented. That's great. That's great, though.
What do you sell? You sell full service, you sell product, you sell portions of the product, you sell tools,
everything.
Anything.
And basically everything to support cadastral mapping needs for local government. Like that, the full cycle of services, I can sell the whole cycle. Or if you're at a certain point, I can enter that cycle at any point in time. That's my opinion. So if you don't have it with photography, I can sell that to you. We have our own aircraft, we can do that. Obviously, we probably wouldn't fly the plane out here because it would take 2 days or 3 days to get the plane out here. But if you'd like, a lot of you are page-by-page CAD. And if you want to go into a seamless geodatabase environment, I can do that. If you're already a seamless shapefile or a seamless coverage, or maybe you're seamless CAD and you want to go to the geodatabase, I can do that. But our focus has been getting people to the geodatabase. We feel it's just a much more flexible environment to not only do the mapping, but to support the entire enterprise application. Does that clarify? I can go on. I didn't want to make this a sales pitch, but I could, but I don't want to do that. Does that answer your question here? Okay, great. Yeah.
So that's why people are like leave CAD to go to GIS, so they can integrate with other enterprise applications?
Historically, yeah. And so you're not going through data transformations all the time. It's a single environment. Why have two pieces of software? Why learn two pieces of software? I mean, we struggle with the same scenario. Why have two pieces of software to manage and deal with? Do one. By all means, go ahead. I'm of the philosophy of a single editing environment, a single platform. Personally, I think CAD is built for WIS, engineering, not GIS. But obviously, there's people out here that are doing GIS and things with it. Drawing. You're drawing. Well, enterprise GIS is more than just drawing. There's analysis type of thing. AutoCAD or CAD typically has, that's their crutch, has been the analysis side. Historically, ESRI has had their crutch has been editing. Well, their editing has come a lot further than CAD has on their analysis. Or you wouldn't be switching over to ESRI to do analysis. Switching CAD, taking CAD data out and moving over to ESRI for analysis.
I think you need both.
It's fine.
Because we need to have the bearings and the distances on those lines. You do need a seamless map. You do need that. But we also have standards that we have to adhere to.
Sure.
We have to have more than just a picture of the split. There's a lot more data and information that we need.
That's all possible within ESRI. All of it is. All of it. You can carry COGO attributes in ESRI. If you know, They did a perfect demonstration yesterday of showing how coordinate geometry can be captured in the geodatabase. The gentleman just before me showed how to enter traverse data into a geodatabase. It's possible. Emilio, you're doing it. It's the thing is, you're used to the CAD tools. That's fine. Use them. Great. I think it's just my personal opinion, but that's fine.
How do you do this without, you know, say you have a whole set of books such as that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do this without having to revise every single map or maps that have, you know, details on?
How do you get it to a seamless environment?
Yeah, like, well, what if you have mapping with the detail on it, a different scale? How do you do this without having to change all your current map pages? Revise the map pages that there are in the books. Because you have a problem with displaying stuff. And so if you want to zoom into a small area, well then the extent of your map page would be limited.
Right.
So how do you get around that type of thing without?
We've done some testing with, we've been talking with San Diego a little bit about that, and that's some of the issues that we brought up with them is how you handle a map page that has either like a match line or multiple scales on it. That's really I think there's fewer of those than just a standard map page. Emilio, you probably run into this.
Yeah,
I know.
We've got the map pages, many pages, I mean, I don't know, 170,000, 100,000 that have multiple views. For us, really, a page is not a file in CAD.
Right.
A page is just a table that has multiple views to the real model, it's a single page. And each window, each view can have a different status shape. All you do is on the effect that you just put a line and that will be your match line. But actually, you're looking at the same
image. That's only important to print out because you don't look at it that way.
Exactly.
Exactly. And if you're printing from these map pages, you can print right out of the GIS. Great map pages. So it seems like you would that to ask it. For us, we have hard copies here. It's not a hard copy scan. It's a revision. But we got,
you got to get away from the page. You got to get away from the page by page concept. That's the hardest thing to grasp.
Then you can print page. But you would be revising your pages if you want it.
No, you don't revise the page. You revise the data. The page is a secondary. It's a byproduct.
Thank you. last night I had to kind of cut our discussion a little short, so we got a little time here, so open that back up again if you want to revisit, you know, the issues you were talking about. And we were talking about, Jim and I, you know, we were talking about, you know, the web page and whether or not to use the web, web online form rather than email form. You want to discuss the certification issue again or more detail? If you want to talk about any of those things or anything else they want to bring up, we've got a little time here, we can do it. Or not. Okay, that's one thing else that I have to do. So that we can introduce a next round of officers. So I become the past president. Nate is going to be the president. Nate is going to be the vice president. For the friends.
I'll be the new treasurer.
And Jim Isabella is still an information officer until he decides otherwise, I guess. So you're going to be the ones in charge next time.
If anybody else wants to do it, just speak up. I'll fight you for it.
Anybody have anything else? And then I just want to thank everybody for coming and. We still, again, thank Jim and Mike worked in our office and Karen and Michelle from our office who did so much work by getting this thing together. Again, thank all you for coming. And I want to thank our vendors, California CAD Solutions, ESRI, and Huntsman who came and supported us again. Again, without them, I'm not sure we could put on this event. The last thing is we do have a little Apple Wilson Gold Prize we'd like to give away. And where's Michael? Okay, that makes you in charge then.
In charge of what? Oh, okay, what do I do? I wasn't trained for this.
Oh, I was. Now, we've got a few things from local products here that we're going to give away. In each of your bags, you found a little Ziploc with some local candy. And I've got two 1-pound boxes of that to give away. So a company that's been in business since 1909. They candy and ice cream shop, and they're only about half a mile from here, so if you want to swing by, they're on the way out of town and learn about more candy and try some ice cream, I recommend it.
Somebody cleaned up the coffee cup to take it
to you,
so maybe
another one.
Same here.
Okay, yeah, we've got some more. Mike, get Mike to take care of that. But the candy from a company called Wars, they've been in business for 1909, coming up on their 10th anniversary. Their candy is available off their website by mail order. So if you like it, you can put it on board, it's always good. Again, I highly recommend their ice cream too, so if you want to stop by and have some ice cream on your way out of town, I highly recommend it. And if anybody needs directions, just let us know. We'll tell you how to get there. Okay, so first up again is one of the 1-pound boxes of the wars. Yeah, we'll see if he actually gets that. next up is this lady that her husband had a farm, grows almonds, and she started up a company called My Husband's Nuts. And so it's a gift box of, I think, four different kinds of the almonds that she sells. And again, those are also available. She has a website where you can also get those. Yeah. Yeah, she's still in a lot of the little shops around town, and I say it plus her website.
Last two numbers, 6-1. 6-1.
Okay, next up, we've put together again some local products. I can't remember how Hanwall got in. Jim, he's got one of our local breweries, got a bottle of beer from Lankmore, a brewing company. Got some coffee from Green Park Market, some locally produced salsa, and I can't remember what else.
More husband's nuts.
But he gets all local products in the area.
And some straw. Four, three.
Something over here. So, Thank you, and I guess that's the end of this meeting, and see everybody next year. Thank you.